That's all I had on. I just slipped over there, you see. I said, well, I don't belong in this company, Captain. He said, what are you doing here? I said, well, the other doctor wouldn't do nothing for me and said I knew I had a bad hand. So I'd come over here and let you look at it. Well, they said, you got to go to the hospital. Go out there and get in that bus. I said, they don't know where I am. I said, I slipped off. He said, that's all right. Give me a name. Give me a captain's name. I did. He said, you go on. Well, I went on and got over there and they lined me up. They were lined up down there and passed me along. They didn't want to look at my hand and got up to the major. He said, punch a hole in it. Just bad. Yeah. So they froze it. First time I ever heard of that, they froze my hand. And they punched a hole in it. Hmm. And the pus just poured out. Well, I was in the hospital 3 weeks, but I was over there 3 days before I any of my folks from my company come to see me, finding my old tent mate, boy from up in Belton, South Carolina, named Robert came, brought me some money and some cigarettes. And they put me in that base hospital and put me between two niggas. In that day and time, you know, one here, and my bed is right between them. Well, they were just old cornfield niggas, you know, I used to niggas. It wasn't long before they were waiting on me. They were just that kind, you know, you mind. And I'd give them a cigarette or two, and they didn't have anything, money or nothing. I'd give them, if I had anything, I'd divide up with them. But anyway, I went on back to they turned me out, and I went on back to Cumberland Street, and put me on light duty. Made me charge of quarters permanently for all the company. Every day I'd have to inspect every bunk in that company and get it ready for inspection, for the main inspection to come up. And I had plenty to do. And at night the captain was lazy. He found out I had put a good voice. He said, go out there and report for the battery. And I didn't know what to say. Just go out there and just say, battery B, all present and accounted for. Come on back. And so I did that every night. And I'd come back by the kitchen, I'd go in there and steal a loaf of light bread, whatever they had, meat or whatever they had cooked up, and go take it to my tent. And my tent mates and I, we'd have a feast. There's women with three other boys in the tent. Well, that went on there came a time when the influenza broke out and they quarantined the whole camp. And one day, I got a summons to come up to headquarters, sidecar from battalion headquarters, showed up. Orderly in it. Give me orders to pull up to headquarters. Put me in the sidecar and carried me on up there. I don't know what happened. Got up there and was a man from Greenville, Mississippi, that I had known at the University of Virginia. And I hadn't seen him, he was a Jew. But he saw my name on the list. And he told me, he says, how'd you like to have a little diversion? How'd you like to
take a trip?
I said, I'd like it fine. Anything get away from this place.
He said, well,
there's a resort up at Hot Springs, North Carolina. And we got to send get him, and I'll get your orders and everything, and you go up and report to the sheriff and get him and bring him on back. Fine. So they give me orders, traveling orders, and give me money and my orders to who to report to and all. And I stopped off in Ashburn, like froze to death in September. It was cold that night. But anyway, the next day I got on the train and the railroad parallel, the French Broad River, beautiful, you know. Rode on and got to Hot Springs, North Carolina, got off. And I reported to an old retired colonel who was in charge of the internment camps. There's two internment camps there. They had Germans interned from this country in those camps. The Germans sympathized and they got scared of them and they put them in those camps. And some of them American citizens too. But they weren't ringing no bagging bells for anybody that wasn't talking right in those days. And they had two of those camps. Well, I reported to the colonel, as his job was run those camps. And he told me, well, some mistake's been made, Sergeant says. We haven't got that man in custody. He's up in the mountains there. He comes down here every weekend, raises hell, and goes back, says, I can't catch him. I said, well, what you want me to do? Want me to take some men and go up there and try it? No, heck no. So you just come on and get from my boys and I'll get orders for you. And he was just going, you'd hear from me. Well, it was a week before I heard from him. I had a good time. and that company of boys were from Columbus, Mississippi. There's guarding those prisoners, those intern folks. And the Mississippi boys, first ones I'd run into since I'd been in the Army.
I bet you did have
I had a good time. And inside those camps, one camp in particular, they had the big rich Germans. They had laid that camp.